Dark Wreath Publishing presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. Autumn Semester 2009, this is Business Finance, FIL 240, Section 7. Lecture 15, delivered on October 8, 2009. The title of this lecture is Annuities and Perpetuities.
Today, Annuities and Perpetuities.
I'm going to show you something kind of funny because in this, what we're doing here, you're going to notice that there are layers. You can do one hard thing by an easier formula, and it kind of stacks that way. Look, suppose that I were to say, you have a chance to invest $800 in a project. Now, let's assume the cash flows discount at 10%. Okay, we'll discount cash flows at 10%. This project will pay you $500 in 2 years, and it will pay you another $500 in 5 years. Is this a good project? Again, is this a good project? Well, see, it's actually going to be kind of on the borderline. And there's a gut sense. You know, sometimes, I mean, if I said I'll pay you $1,000 in 2 years and $1,000 in 5 years, you know, that's pretty obvious. Yeah, that's a damn good deal. But here, this is where we actually have to get pretty technical. And this is sort of a realistic representation. Well, not realistic, but it's in the ballpark of realism of what we do in finance. For a lot of what we do in financial management is we analyze the cost of a project versus the present value of the money we're going to get from the project. Interestingly enough, in the real world, there are no giant slam dunks. Most of them will be kind of like, we have to do the numbers to see, because it's going to be right on the borderline. A lot of projects will be. So let's look at something here. Okay, right here, I'm going to draw this. It's called a timeline, and we kind of favor those in finance. I actually still use them to this day, and I know a lot of other financial professionals who do scratch out a timeline every now and then just to sort out the cash flow. Here's year zero. Here's year one. Here's year two. Here's year three, four, five. Now, right here at the beginning, at the very beginning, we'll see that in year zero, we are going to pay out $800. And then in year two, we are going to see $500 come in. And in year five, we're going to see another $500 come in. But those 500s can't be compared to the 800. They can't be compared to each other because they are occurring at time shifts from each other and from the initial investment. We have to turn everything into now dollars. The 800 is already now dollars, so I don't have to do anything to that. And that'll be very typical of these problems, even when they get butch, is the cost we will have. Well, we put the cost up front, and then we wait for the money to come in. So here we go. We're going to say, okay, I'm going to have to take the present values of these two $500. Now, we'll have the present value of the 1 and 2 years would be, and I'm going to write over here, the present value and future value formulas. Remember, the future value is the present value times 1 plus the periodic interest rate to the number of periods. And the present value is the future value times 1 plus the periodic interest rate to the negative number of periods. And that's the fancy algebraically with the negative exponents and all that way of doing this. Now, here we go. Now, I'm going to crank this one out. This one comes out to be, the first one will come out to be $500 times 1 plus 0.1 to the negative second. And I truly, truly hope that I can remember to bring my calculator over from now on when I'm doing these. And I strongly encourage you, just do these, just to make sure that you're okay with this. As you already know, we've covered this on the exam, so we are past the point where this is really a struggle to do, I hope. So, working that out, 500 times 1 plus 0.10, close the parentheses, raise that to the 2 positive negative, and that comes out to be $413.22. And so we got that cash flow that occurred there now in present value. And now the $500 that occurred at year 5, we'll do the same to that, 500 times 1 plus 0.10 to the negative fifth power. And that will come out to be $310.46. And if you add those two together, the present value of the future expected cash flows from this project is $723.68. Now we step back and talk reality. Is it a good deal? No, it sucks. But not hugely. It's not like a black hole suck. But it is negative. And in finance, we talk about what we call the net present value. It's the present value of the costs, and comparing the present value of the costs to the present value of the cash, positive cash flows. And if it's the net present value is positive, even if it's 2 cents positive, the project is a go. If it is negative, that net present value, even if it's 2 cents negative, well, I shouldn't be that technical, but really, no, it's a down. It's really a simple decision-making process at the end. In this case, the net present value of this project is negative $76.32. It's a negative. It doesn't matter how negative. It could be negative $10 billion. Could have been negative $2.12. It's a no. No. And I don't care how much the marketing department said it was a great idea. No. And that's literally what it'll come down to is you're the people, if you're in finance, you're the ones who analyze whether this is a yes or a no. You got to make sure that their predictions of cash flow are realistic. Predictions of costs are realistic. But once that's out of the way and it's down to this technical analysis here, it's up if it's plus, it's down if it's minus. And that's the end of the conversation. And then they'll probably go over your head and start crying to the president of the company or something like that. But whatever. And there's how we do this. Now, what I've shown you here is actually just using the lump sum formula twice. You see, that's the lump sum formula. And I said, okay, and I could do this all day long. I could have 500s, 200s, 800s, 9,000s, all anything you wanted, and I just telescope them back. It's sort of like just pulling everything back. We call this discounting the cash flows. We're discounting cash flows. And it's a matter, you can use the lump sum formula all the time. And in fact, that's what you would have to do if you have different amounts of money in the stream of cash flows, or if the timing is not consistent. Here you notice that the timing was not consistent. The cash flows were the same value out there, 500, which was nice, but they didn't occur at regular intervals. So if it's like that, where either you don't have nice, clean, level cash flow, or if you have inconsistency in the time intervals, this is how you do it. You just crank out the lump sum formula. Just keep bringing it back and adding them in. Now, one trick that I do, by the way, is if I've got a bunch of these to do and I want to do it by a lump sum, what I do is I do each one. I calculate this first one, and I came out with $413.22. I store that in the first registry of the memory of the calculator, store one. Then I go on and I calculate the second one, and I hit plus recall one equals store one. So I can use that registry, the first registry in the memory, as sort of a running total. And then the last one that I do, when I get the last number, if there were like 10 of these, I do that calculation, plus recall one, which would have the other nine added up, equals, and there's my final answer. So if again, the way I do it is I calculate each one, the first one, then I store it in the first registry. Then everyone after that I calculate, I get the number for it, then I say plus recall one equals store one. And that creates a running sum in the registry. Now this sounds kind of cumbersome, but it works pretty darn well. Now the fancy calculators you guys have got, whichever one it is, if it's a BA or an HP or even a Texas Instruments TI-83 or 84, or actually the Inspire does this stuff too, you've got keys and you can actually tell it the cash flow amount by period. So like on a BA calculator, you would say the initial cash flow, C0, negative 800, C1, 0, C2, 500, C3, 0, C4, 0, C5, 500, and then tell it the interest rate and then say, find me a present value. It works, yeah, and it's, but you'll find that it's about, once you get the hang of this, you can fly these just as fast as you can that. And it'll be a matter for you to decide which way you want to play it on a quiz or an exam. I'll show you both ways. You can do it whichever way you want. Now, let me go on here. Here's the thing. It would be grand if there were a way to simplify the calculation, at least in some cases. Like, for example, suppose that I wanted to know the present value of a stream of yearly cash flows of $500 for 20 years. Well, that would kind of suck to actually calculate 20 lump sum present values and add them up. Yeah, you could do it, but you're guaranteed you'd probably make a, well, not, yeah, you might make a mistake. You might get bored and join a Hare Krishna commune. You might do a lot of things, getting bored doing that. Interestingly enough, I'm going to show you something. Let me show you something here. Okay. What is the present value? Of let's say $600 that would be received at the end of each of the coming 3 years. If the discount rate is 8%. Now what I'm going to do first is I'm going to just do this by the traditional method, the fun method, present value, and all that kind of fun stuff. If I do that, okay, I've got a 1 year, what did I say, 600? 2 year, 600. 3 year, 600. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to telescope those three back and find the present value. You're saying, well, didn't you just kind of do a problem like that? Can't we move on? Patience. I'm going to work that out. As a matter of fact, I'm not even going to Now, you're saying, well, what about the, is there a compounding period? Not really, not here. And you'll see why. I'll talk about that in a little bit. It's just 8% a year. And I'm going to see if I can flog this in. I would encourage you to see if you can just beat it through with calculator strokes without even having to write it out. Clear everything out. And I do 600 times 1.08 to the negative first. I'm going to store that in 1. And 600 times 1.08 to the negative second equals plus recall 1 equals store 1. And then I'm going to just do the last one, 600 times 1.08, y to the x, negative 3 equals, that's 476.30, plus recall 1 equals. And I come up with a total net present value of $1,546. $1,546. And 26 cents. Now, I do want to caution. If you use the financial keys, you could get a number that is somewhat different by more than a few cents. I recall I've seen doing it by formula for a big annuity versus doing it by the keys. The numbers can be off by several dollars. Yeah.
What was the number you get?
1546.26. Is that what you got? If you can do that. What did I do?
I got 46. I got 1546.26.
Were you doing any rounding along the way, or were you letting the calculator carry the numbers? Rounding, that'll bake you on these. Because the rounding will get cumulative. Yeah, be careful. Let the calculator carry all of the digits. Go ahead. Oh, dear God. How do you store on a TI-83? I don't even use store on that one. Too. Just store? You don't have to tell it a registry? So you don't just say store one like that. Store in a registry one. Man, that's weird. I've never heard that trick before. I mean, I teach college math, and I'd never heard that trick before. Learn something new every day for the kids. But anyway, there's that. Now I'm going to show you a formula. There's a name for what I did here. Look, you see the $600? They're all the same, and they're occurring at regular intervals. We call this a level annuity. They're all the same amount, and they're occurring at consistent intervals. In that case, it will be called a level annuity. A level annuity. Because they're all the same number, dollar value, and they're occurring every year. They could be occurring every month, every decade, it doesn't matter. As long as it's consistent. See, the one I started with, you didn't have consistent periods. You had consistent amounts, but not consistent periods. This is a level annuity. And so now comes the magic, a formula for a level annuity. Now imagine, this one wasn't so bad. Imagine you had to do that for a 20-year annuity of $600 a year. That would be a lot like work. Fortunately, we have this really very extremely cool little formula to do annuities. And this is called a normal annuity or a regular annuity. The present value of the annuity will be the level cash flow amount, in this case it's 600, times 1 minus the quantity 1 plus the interest rate to the negative nth power, all divided by that interest rate. Now, let me point out, first of all, when you do this, excuse me for having a fat ass, you're leaning, you're looking around. Here's the thing. In this formula, first of all, if you're going to do it on the calculator, be sure that you trap that numerator in its own outer set of parentheses. So that when you start with 600 times open parenthesis. So that when you close that parenthesis, it says, ah, I know, I finished my work here. Now, that R, let the problem drive the number of compoundings. In this case, over there in this problem that I've worked out by the lump sum that I'm now going to use this formula on, the cash flow was yearly. So your compoundings are yearly. If I was working on a problem that had to do with monthly payments, well then I'd use divided by 12 for the annual interest rate. But here, I'm talking about annual payments, so it's the annual interest rate. There's no compoundings other than once a year. Okay. Now, what you want to do, let's try this. For the problem over there, the cash flow value was 600. The level annuity was 600. The interest rate was, what the hell was the interest rate? 8%. 0.08. And the number of periods was 3 years. So, if you honk that into the calculator, if it's just straight algebra, you would just simply say 600 times. Now, for God's sake, open up parentheses and tell the calculator I'm going to do a numerator. Open parentheses 1 minus... open parentheses, 1 plus 0.08, close parentheses, y to the x, 3, positive, negative. Now close those parentheses. And that will work out the numerator. Now as a caution, if you're having to divide r by a compounding periods, when you start the denominator, open up parentheses to deal with the denominator. But here you don't have to. You just say divided by 0.08. And what do you get for your answer? Well, spank me Buddha. Look at that. You should get exactly the same value you got over there. You should get the same value you got over there. And what is the thing that will really move your bowels with this is it can be as long as you want. 3 years, 10 years, 50 years. You can just keep rocking with it. Now, here's the thing. What I did over there is called a regular annuity. There's a variation called an annuity due, where the cash flows occur at the beginning of the period instead of at the end. Most financial textbooks will show you a special formula for the annuity due. Don't use a special formula for the annuity due. An annuity due, instead, look at the timeline. You see the timeline here at year 1, 600, year 2, 600, at year 3, 600? An annuity due would have the 600s at 0, 1, and 2 instead of at 1, 2, and 3. That's an annuity due. And like I said, the book and most books will show you a special formula to find the present value of an annuity due. Don't do that. Look at your timeline. Suppose this had been an annuity due. The timeline would have shifted forward one period, and there would have been a 600 here, and there would have been no 600 on the back end. So if it's got like that, why don't you just find a regular annuity of 2 years and then just add $600 to it? Do you follow what I did there? Instead of using a special formula for an annuity due, look at your timeline. Do you see this is really just a 2-year normal annuity with a kicker $600 right at the beginning? So just find a 2-year annuity and then add $600 as you get right now. That's how I do these annuities that are due. They're weird. You don't usually see them. I wonder if an annuity due that you calculated in the Ozarks would be a Mountain Dew. And if Fido did it, would it be Doggy Dew? If you see, you remember, I was talking to you about the cow joke. If you see the same herd of cows going down the road, and then when you come back, the second time you see them is that deja vu. What the hell am I doing? Why do I bother with you people? God, this is like a rough audience. This is when I did stand-up comedy at Ohio State years ago. Didn't make much money at it then either. Okay, here we go. So that's one of the reasons, by the way, I do these timelines, is because it can help me shape the problem. I mean, draw the timeline. There is no rule that you must do it by some specific way. If you write your timeline out and you see a pattern, and it's a valid way, it's a valid pattern, and you've got a formula for that pattern, use that pattern to shape the formula the way you want. I can make this any way I want. I can do it as lump sums. I can do it as an annuity with a kicker on the beginning. I can do it as an annuity due. As long as I get the right answer, it doesn't hurt to vary. And that's the whole thing that in a lot of classes in finance, there's this, how in the hell are we supposed to know how to do what he did there? You don't have to do it my way. See your own way of how the timeline is stretching out. And you can do some really cool things. Like, for example, one of the cool things that you could do, here's one that's odd. Suppose that you had an annuity that looked like this. For the first 2 years, well, let's say for the first 3 years, it's $500. And then for the last 2 years, it's $800. Well, darn it, that's not a level annuity. Can't use a formula? Yes, you can. Okay, this 800, that's actually 500 and 300. So really, you had hidden in there a 5-year $500 annuity. Yeah. I'm just testing your ass. It's 300. You used too many green leaf things. You just saw zero there. I didn't pull it. But anyway, look. You see there was actually a $500 level annuity in there. And then see those two 300s? Well, heck, you could just calculate those as two lump sums. One at year, what the heck, 4, and one at year 5. Or you could calculate a 2-year annuity of $300, which would land the annuity of $300 there, a 2-year annuity of $300 there, and then just take the present value of that back 1, 2, 3 periods. There are a lot of different ways you can play it. And I emphasize not how I do it, but how you can see that you could do it. Playing with the cash flow, just manipulating. And who would have thought, oh, 800 and 800, that's actually 500 plus 300. How would I have known that? You wouldn't. Now you've seen it. Now you've seen that I can do these kinds of things with the numbers, and it doesn't hurt a thing. As long as I keep the whole amount there, I'm okay. Now there's one other one. There's a time when you might, okay, you're going to die someday. When you do, it's going to hurt like hell. For most people, it hurts like hell. They bitch and fuss and all that. But that's going to be, you want to have fun before you die. Now, you figure that you will live to at least the age of 60, and you would really like when you're 60, to have the party of the century. Indeed, party like it's 2099. So you ask yourself, how much would I have to put in the bank every month until I'm 60 years old to have, let me put it this way. Suppose you say, okay, well, I could put away $50 a month. So what if I did that every month for 40 years? Assuming you're about 20 now, let's just do about 40 years. Well, let's see what that would tell us. Let's pose the question. How much would you have in the bank after 40 years if you put in $50 every month? And we'll assume that you're putting it into an account. Let's say the account pays, 8%. This is, by the way, not an unrealistic problem. This would be like creating a term life insurance on your own. Or essentially preparing for your kid's college. How much would I have to put in if I figure that it's going to cost, if I put in $200 a month for my kid, how much would I have when the kid turned 18 if I start when the kid's born? This is actually the beginnings of financial planning, what I'm talking about right here. Well, here's the thing. If you look at it, it's a genuine pain in the butt because you're going to kick in 50 bucks starting now, and then you're going to put in 50 bucks every month for 40 years. You could do a future value of each of those $50 out to 40 years. No, don't do it. You will go blind. There's an easier way. This is a level annuity, but this one's a future value. And here's a formula for a future value of a level annuity. And again, you can do an annuity due and all that kind of stuff. We aren't going to talk about that. You can see obviously how you'd play that one. The future value would be the cash flow times the quantity 1 plus R to the nth minus 1 all divided by R. Here, and always, R is the periodic interest rate. Notice, though, that because I'm putting in money every month, the periodic interest rate would be the annual interest rate divided by 12. You let the cash flow pattern determine your compoundings that you use. In the problem that I did over there, it was one period per year. Here, because we're doing this every month, we are forcing the compoundings to happen 12 times a year. So the annual interest rate would have to be divided by 12, and the number of periods would have to be multiplied by 12. So in this formula, the cash flow will be 50 bucks. The interest rate that we'll use would be 0.08 divided by 12. And the number of periods would be 40 years times 12 months a year for 480. And again, I encourage you to figure out the number of periods, but let the calculator handle the R divided by the number of periods. So through the grinder, and I do want you to do this before we end, just keying these in, you would simply pound in 50 times, and again, open parentheses, trap the numerator, open parentheses, and then open parentheses again, 1 plus 0.08 divided by 12, close the parentheses, y to the x, no, y to the x, 480, then minus 1, close the parentheses, divided by, I just missed a step there. 50 times, open parentheses, 1 plus 0.08 divided by 12, close parentheses, y to the x, 480 minus 1, close the parentheses, divided by, and then again, you'll want to open up parentheses for the bottom here to do 0.08 divided by 12. What I would do, I got a weird thing, but you want to do, here, watch. Just take 50 times. Open the parenthesis. Now open parenthesis again. And then say 1 plus 0.08 divided by 12. Close those parentheses to the 480. No, 480. Just 480. Minus 1. Now close those parentheses off, and that will calculate the numerator. You should see at this point, if you're using one of these cheapo ones, 23.27. Divided by, open parenthesis, 0.08 divided by 12, close the parenthesis, equals. You should get $174,550.39. $174,550.39. Is that enough to have a party? But then again, we're in Illinois, man. You know? For Illinois, that is the party of the century. Now, I'm going to put up some problems for you. Just play with them, the answers to them for the weekend. That's all I have for you today. I thank you.